We have been talking about serving the Lord, and last week we talked about choosing to serve the Lord, that Joshua gathered all the people and said, do you want the idols or do you want the God who is above all things? And I'm really grateful that that we can serve the Lord with gladness. Brother Minka, would you do me a favor? Would you get my phone out from behind there? I have some of my notes in my phone. I just forgot to grab it. And so, when we're talking about serving one another, it is a different pattern. It's a pyramid in life that says, claw what you can get at, climb the ladder, do it everything you can. Thank you. Do everything you can to get a leg up on others in your career, in your workplace, in your competitive life. That's all that you have. But God said, hey, there's a different model that I want you to see. And it's the anatomy of the towel and the basin. It's humbling ourselves and serving others. And that is not an easy sermon to preach. Nobody likes to hear about serving others. But I guarantee you, this is God's model. And it works every time. Because whenever you serve others, you put yourself in the position for God to promote you. And when God promotes you, nobody can take you down from that promotion unless God chooses to do so. So we're entrusting God with that model, because in the advertising world and in our bombardment of public service and getting our cars serviced, it's all about serving us. But in the scriptures, and when God gave an example through Jesus Christ, he said, I have not come to be served, but I've come to serve others. Amen? And so we want to talk about that a little bit today and spend some time in the Word of God. So if you go to Philippians chapter 2, you will see where I am today. And I just want to say I'm so thankful for anyone that gives and serves in this body. Thank you to Dean playing the keyboard today. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dean. Thank you, Karen, for leading worship. We love you. Great job today serving the Lord. This is not just serving the body. It's serving the Lord. And so we want to talk a little bit about that today. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. This is known as the Carmen Christi. It's the song or the hymn of Christ by scholars. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, what mind is that? It's going to tell us. There's the colon. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That means in Scripture, in the original language, that he emptied himself out and took upon him the form of a servant. Everybody say servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him serve or minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve and give his life a ransom for many. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Ye have been called unto liberty. Hello, somebody. You've been called unto freedom. Only use not liberty or your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but do what? But by love serve one another. Amen, somebody. But by love, serve one another. I just want to talk for a few more minutes on this second installment of this learning to serve or choosing who you will serve series. I just called it learning to serve. Lord, help us. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, help us to descend into greatness. Help us to learn how to serve. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated in the house of the Lord. So many great passages in Philippians. Paul writing to the Philippian church from a dark cell. How many had to read your Bible this morning in a prison cell? Anybody? No, nobody? We're getting this message from Paul, who's in a dark prison cell, sending out, talking about liberty and freedom in the Lord, and that you have the freedom not just to do whatever you want, but the greatest freedom is to serve somebody. Amen, someone. And so he's saying, hey, the downward path is the better path. Every single day in our world, it whispers, and I know we don't march to the rudiments of this world, amen, that we tend to lead our lives in the Word of God, moving and seeking success as God would define it. But the formula of success of this world is climb the ladder, assert your rights, protect your brand, build your reputation. We live in a culture obsessed with status, titles, making sure nobody takes advantage of us. If you have power, you hold onto it. And if you have rights, you demand them. But 2,000 years ago, as I've read to you, the Apostle Paul wrote the letter in a Roman prison, in a cell so small, but yet to a church that was growing strong. And in it, he turned the world's pyramid upside down. Amen, somebody. He shows us that God's version of greatness doesn't look like climbing up. It looks like stepping down. And lets us know that when we serve others, we are not losing in any way. We are not letting go of our own rights. We're not letting go of our own privileges. But when we serve others, we're serving as unto the Lord. Amen, somebody. And he said, let this same mind of service that Jesus had in coming and dying and shedding his own blood for us and taking on the death we deserved, let that same mind be in you, that you need to be planted somewhere. You need to have life that has been chosen to give to others, that somewhere a servant mentality plants you somewhere and you are to die, and by losing your life, your will, your way, that you actually gain the life that he has for you, a life you cannot design for yourself, a life you cannot encourage yourself into. You humble yourself into it. You stoop down, you kneel down, and you take a towel and water in a basin metaphorically, and you serve those that are around you. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen, somebody. So what Jesus did was he knew that he was able to walk the earth as God in flesh. Being in the form of man, did not think it was robbery to be equal to God, because he was 100% God and he was 100% man. Yes. But in the Greek, the word metamorph means that he took on the form, or he metamorphed. The very essence of something is to metamorph and to change. Jesus possessed full, uncreated, glorious nature of Almighty God, but he morphed himself into mankind. He morphed himself into the power of a body in order to give life where we could not give life. He gave the perfect life on the cross in a perfect death for mankind to be made perfect again. Somebody ought to put an amen right there. Amen, somebody. Then he hit that powerful verse where it says he thought it not robbery. He wasn't stealing anything from God because he was God in the flesh. He wasn't taking away anything from God because he was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was all of what God is in a body. Amen, somebody. So the modern translations help clarify In the King James and others, it means that Jesus did not view his equity with God as a prize to be grasped or clutched or exploited to his own advantage. In contrast, he became the second Adam who died for our sins. That one Adam who decided he didn't want to be in the role that he was in. He wanted to be like God, knowing good from evil. He clutched at what he wanted. He desired to be different. He desired to take hold of something that was not his. And so in one garden, he came the fall of mankind. But in another garden, brothers and sisters, stood Jesus Christ. Then down on his knees, sweating as it were drops of blood, began to pray and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it was not, for God chose that he would be beaten, bruised. For he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So the second Adam in a second garden purchased our freedom through the cross, because he said, not my will, but thy be done. He served us through Golgotha and gave us salvation. Somebody just lift your hands and thank him for the saving of mankind through the cross of Christ. Amen. Amen. The contrast is stark. You see it all the time. Pride welling up. I deserve it. I've worked hard. I should have it. We ascend when God chooses to lift us up. That's the difference in the church model. We don't choose to grasp a hold of things that are not ours, but we let ourselves be exalted by God. In fact, it was Lucifer, if you remember, who said, I will ascend unto the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He chose to grasp onto something and to reach for something that was never his. Humans constantly try to rob God of his glory, to elevate themselves instead of letting the reality that Jesus wanted us to learn, that we need to serve in to greatness. Amen, somebody. Jesus didn't need to steal anything because he was God Almighty in the flesh. Amen, somebody. He was God Almighty in the flesh. Amen, somebody. Zechariah 14:9. It's not my notes, brother, but let me just read it because it came to my mind. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord. Amen, someone. And his name, the only name. That word name means Shem in the Hebrew. And Shem is a very powerful name. Name equals reputation, memory, or renown. The word name in the Hebrew is the same name that was very important to the Hebrew people. When you go back and you look at names of the Hebrew people, they believed you should live up to whatever your name is. And names were so important that they wanted to know their genealogy. They wanted to know everyone that came down their line. And they wanted their names listed. And they wanted to know who they were and where they served and what they did and how they passed. In Philippians 2:9-10, therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth. In other words, he said, let this mind be in you, to serve one another, to serve each other, and in coming low and taking a hold of the towel and serving each other, I will raise you up. Jesus said, watch what I'm going to do. When he was in the moment of the Last Supper, he's joined with his disciples, and he says certain things to them that are kind of blowing their mind. But Jesus in John 13, I'm jumping around just a little bit, media team. In John 13, he was deciding that he was going to wash their feet. And so in 13:1, you see that Jesus is spending time with his disciples, and he does something that's very customary in that time. Now, we don't have this custom because we don't walk with Air Jerusalems, amen, with open-shoed sandals. We don't have Air Jesuses. Hello, somebody. But what they would have is they would have a wash basin with water, and they would have a towel. And when you come into their house, what they would do is they would actually, the servants of the house, or the house guests, when the house guests came in, the owner of the house would actually take and they would actually put the bowl down and they would wash their feet, maybe because of dirt from their feet. I don't know. Have you ever been to somebody's house and they said, yeah, take your shoes off at the door. I don't want you to dirty my house. It's the same idea, because there was all kinds of things in the street. There was horse excrement. There was different kinds of things that they would walk through, muddy feet, dirty feet. And so it was a common practice for the person of the house or the servants of the house, when you came in, for them to wash your feet. We don't have this custom anymore. But Jesus decided that he was going to make a statement in John 13 and 1, if you help me out with that. In John 13 and 1, I can go to that as well. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to John 13, that would be a good place for you to go right now. But John 13 and 1, John 13 and 1, we'll find it sooner or later. Thank you, Brother Dean, for helping out today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 13 and 1. You see, like, this whole chapter is beautiful. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Hello, somebody. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. To betray who? Yes. So the devil is making his highest move. I want you to catch this right here, okay? The devil is making his highest play. And what is Jesus' response? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin. So he went and he decided, like, hey, he knew the room. He knew that the enemy had put into Judas Iscariot's heart to betray him. And he's like, watch this. While the enemy is trying to make their highest move, I'm going to make my lowest move. Do you see that? So what he does is he says, whenever somebody is trying to cut you out, when somebody is trying to make their highest move, when they're showing their pride and their arrogance, what you should do is go low. Amen. Go low. Get down on your knees and begin to pray and seek God. Get a towel and serve. Pray for them. Amen. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for those that curse you. Pray for those that have come against you. And he said, in that way, you're like doing the proverbial washing of feet. You've lowered yourself to their lowest physical place, and you're praying for them, and you're asking God to bless them. And so whenever the enemy makes his highest move, Jesus moves to his lowest state. Do you see that? That's so good. I wish somebody would thank the Lord for that. So Jesus is washing feet. And he tells them, you don't know what I'm doing. You don't understand. Jesus answers, and then let's go back up to verse 5, where I was saying, after he poureth water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doth thou wash my feet? Or, oh, Lord, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. He didn't know that Jesus was going to die on the cross. He didn't know that Judas was about to betray him. But Jesus knew the room. He knew what was happening. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head and my whole body. And no, I'm adding too much. He said, also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit or everywhere, and ye are clean, but not all. In other words, he's saying, I need to just wash your feet as a customary thing, as a service to you. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So he knew who would betray him. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? And they're like, we really appreciate it. We loved it. We liked it, but we don't quite understand. And he's like, so I'm going to explain to you. If I then, he said, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for I am a master and a Lord, he said. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. He's talking about serving one another. This is not just, this is a custom that we don't do anymore, but we do take from this message the understanding that we need to serve each other in a place of lowliness. Like, we need to humble ourselves. The only thing you need in life is humility and service to get promoted. That's all you need. If some of you are looking for promotions in your life, come with humility and service, and God will promote you in the places where you are, in the places that he wants to promote you. Make sure that God promotes you. They might miss the towel. They might not appreciate the service. They might not appreciate it. Their appreciation and how they see you and what they think of you is not important. What God thinks of you and what God is doing in your life is more important than what others think of you. They may not respect the towel in the basin. They may not respect the service that you're bringing, but God does. Heaven is attracted to humility. That's what I'm trying to say. God is attracted to service. And so if we do that, God will promote us. God doesn't miss when you do service. God does not miss when you do service. He sees it, and he will promote you. The goal for everyone seems to be to sit at the table. But God wants us to serve those that are at the table. Matthew 23:10, if you want to go there. Matthew 23:10. Scripture gives us these words. Matthew 23:10. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn there. It's okay that we move along slow. I want to get this in. Serving the Lord with gladness, David said in Psalms 100. That we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. 23 verse 10 says, neither be ye called masters, for one of your masters, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then he goes into rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, woe, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entered to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. He starts with the understanding that if you go low, if you serve other people, you will have the ability to stand before God without any regrets or judgment, because he is God of glory, and you're serving the God of glory. You're not just serving people. You're not serving your boss. You're not serving others. I have a situation going on at work where they're pulling into meetings and leaving me out of it, where they're setting up this young guy who's coming up that I'm training to get his license and then cut me off. I know it's happening. I know it's coming. And I don't even have to bother with it. I don't even have to worry about it. You know why? Because I just keep serving. And as I keep serving, whatever God cuts off means that he's opening a new door for you to walk through. Do you understand? It may hurt. It may not feel right.
But don't you dare go inviting yourself into places you don't belong. If you get excluded from it, just thank God that He knows that you're staying low and you're serving and you're washing feet proverbially, and you're trying your best to serve the Lord. If it happens, it happens for your good, for you to be moved on. It's safe for you to wash feet in the places where you go and where you serve. It's safe for you because God keeps record. Amen? So the devil is making his highest move, but Jesus gets low. And Philippians picks it up. We were reading here, as Philippians picks it up, that God is not worried about being equal with God. Jesus is not worried about being equal to God, because he's got that handled. But he made himself of no reputation. He poured out himself. And so therefore, the God who is highly exalted, Jesus, who is highly exalted, from the moment of service, it says, let this mind be in you, that you understand that when you serve, even if you lose a job or even if you lose an opportunity because you didn't force your way in there, stay humble and stay a servant. And when you do that, the mind of Christ is that when he went low, he got a name that was above every name. That when he went low and humbled himself, that God gave him a name that was above every name, Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Who bowed the knee and washed the feet? Jesus did. And when he bowed the knee and washed his feet, God used the humility to raise him up and give him a name that was above every name. If you will serve people, God will put his name on your life. And when he puts his name on your life, you may have the identity of a towel. But when you walk away, you're going to walk out as a child, never taking advantage of widows, never taking advantage of the lowly, never taking advantage of somebody. You didn't know their story. You didn't know their life struggle. But when you get out of this, you were having a towel through life. But when you get before him, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that same Lord, that same name that came from a towel and a wash basin is on my life. It's on my life. And I walk with him every single day with the name on my lips. I'm serving and calling on the Lord. I'm serving and calling on his name. I'm serving and lifting up the name of the Lord. It's not beautiful sometimes, but it's what God is attracted to. It's what he's attracted to. Not everybody comes to watch humble people just serve the Lord, but every once in a while, you get next to another towel carrier. Have you ever been next to another towel carrier? You're like, hey, isn't it good to serve the Lord? They're like, yeah, man, no outcome needed. I'm just glad to be in the presence of Almighty God today. I'm just glad to be serving the Lord. I'm just glad to be here. You don't know what I had to go through. It doesn't matter what I had to go through. I'm so glad I've got a towel. I'm so glad I walk humble. I'm so glad that Jesus is attracted. We're created to work, brothers and sisters. We're created to carry a towel in our life. I know people think, well, if I could just get the right job, the right amount of money, if I could just retire, then I'll have a smile on my face all the time. I'll be happy. And then you get all that and you realize my purpose left. Where did my purpose go? Because your work and your life line is connected to your purpose line. And so if you serve people, you'll serve right into your purpose of God. We don't understand it. We don't always understand it. He was talking to the disciples. He said, you're not going to understand it now, but just serve somebody. Just serve in a church. Serve in a house. Serve in your family. Just keep serving them. And you won't understand why it's so inconvenient. And you won't understand why you got to go help your neighbor move. But serve them anyways. Get a towel and serve them anyways. And in looking back, you see purpose. Purpose is seen in the rearview mirror more than it's seen in front of you. Amen. They did not know what Jesus was doing. But he said, you won't know now. But this is the path. This is the way. Serve ye the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that he is God. It is he that hath made us. We're not self-made people. You can't puff your chest up and say, oh, I built this. Oh, look at what we did. Look at my crew. Look how deep we roll. I don't know if that even applies. Sorry, that's probably too much slang. But there is no way that you can stand before God at any point and say, look what I did. It's all going to be, look what you did with the hands that I put in your service. That's what Jesus did. He said, I'm just going to serve my way out through the cross. And when I get done, the hands are going to be scarred, but they'll have saved a planet. They'll have saved mankind. Hello, somebody. They'll have turned captivity to freedom. They'll have set the ones free that need it. I don't know if your boss will respect service. I don't know if your wife is attracted to service or your girlfriend is attracted or boyfriend or family. But I do know this, that God's attracted to it. And it's attracting to heaven. And so, you can't just sit down in life and wait for things to come to you. You're not going to sit down on the corner and just say, well, God, please show up and introduce me and invite me into life and purpose. It's not how it works. You'll sit on the curb, swing legs, and wait for Jesus to show up all your life. But if you get into serving, I don't care if you like it or not. Hello, somebody. Can I talk about this for a minute? God will put you in service in places you don't like. And joys, when you start to serve, you just don't like it. You're like, God, why do I have to? I scheduled myself 2 weeks out to help somebody move. And now it's the Saturday of the move, and I don't want to go help them. Nobody's been there? Okay. Let me try a different one. I'll try a different one and see if I can catch you. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to find out that the things that you thought meant so much actually gave you the littlest reward. And going and serving somebody that bothered you, that was an inconvenience to your time, and was difficult and was not fun, brought you the greatest rewards in heaven. And you will also find that sometimes serving in a place you don't want to will actually turn into your greatest joy in life. I don't know if you've ever been there, but you end up finding something, a purpose and a power in it that changes your life. For Matthew 16:24 says, he that loses his life will find it. And he that finds his life will lose it. Turn there with me to Matthew 16 if you can. This is the sermon for today, that we understand that even with less people here today, we are serving the Lord. Amen, somebody. That others have gone to serve in other places, but we are serving the Lord. And you'll find great joy in places of service if you just keep the towel in your life. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoso will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain, everybody say gain, the whole world, and he lose his own soul? I can promise you, carrying a towel through life, you will not lose your soul. I can promise you that serving where it's difficult will keep you from regrets later on in life, because you did not lash back at those lashing out. You did not hurt those that were trying to hurt you, but you instead were like Jesus. You kneeled down and you took the towel and you washed and you served and you gave of yourself, like this says, to follow Christ, laying down your life like a seed sown so that it can germinate in the dark soil and produce 30, 60, 100-fold. How many like apples? Raise your hand if you like an apple. I'm not going to give you one right now, but raise your hand if you like apples. You like apples? Some of you like apples. When you cut an apple open, what's inside an apple? Next week, I'm going to be speaking on sowing and reaping a little bit, and I'll give you a preview. I was able to get my hands on what's known as heirloom seeds. Anybody know what this is? It's the coolest thing you ever heard. I hope the sermon comes together like I feel it, because it's powerful. But heirloom seeds, the seeds that we have now that are being sold in the general market, are not able to germinate beyond a certain level because they've been so changed. But seeds 20, 30, 40, more like 60 years ago, they were not only able to reproduce, but they were able to reproduce at the exact same ability and stronger than the previous seed. So if you take an apple seed and you bury it, what do you get? You get a tree that produces one more apple? No, you get a tree that produces hundreds of apples. And then that is the seeds to produce hundreds of thousands of apples. And if you keep going, eventually you're an apple farmer. It's just a fact. You have an apple farm. Congratulations. How is that possible? It's because of fruit has its seed in it. And I'll share with you more next week because it's really powerful. But if we save ourselves, I just want fun. I just want to find a good life. I just want pleasure. I just want all these things. It's all about me. It's all about us. I don't want to get married. It's too difficult. It's too hard. Marriage is just, some said marriage is just a death march to a life camp. Death march to a life camp. Congratulations. You have a life sentence. You have written down, I'm going to marry this person. Marriage has responsibilities people don't want, but you have to lay down your life for something. And you either lay down your life chasing what will never bring you ultimate pleasure, and that is pleasure, or chasing fun, which will never be enough to satisfy you, or you will lay down your life following Jesus Christ. That is the two choices. We need to follow Jesus. He said, if anyone's going to come after me, he's going to have to die to himself. He's going to have to serve. You were, whether you know it or not, you were created to lay down your life. And as you lay down your life, you find life. You were meant to plant you. That's the facts. And so if you can plant yourself somewhere, I guarantee you it will change your life. It'll move you into a place of multiplication where your life being one seed, God will take it and he'll say, I see your service. I see your giving. I see you offering yourself up to me through serving others that don't deserve it. Hello, somebody. But they don't deserve it, but he does for what he did for us. So that's why we don't serve just them. Service to them is a pathway to serving Him. We serve Him through others. That is how we show Him our love for Him. That God, we're so thankful that You died for us, and I want to follow You. I lay my life down for others. I show up when others need something. I put myself out of the way so that others can have what they need, and I pray for people, and I reach for people, and I serve people, because in doing so, I'm serving through them unto Him. And that is the message today, is that there is no such thing as getting this perfect. There's no such thing as getting your degree in service and you can step back now. We are learning how to serve all of our life, because service shows up in different ways, but it's always the same thing. When someone tries to go high, when someone steps in with pride and attack and arrogance, go low and let God take care of it. Amen. Because He will make up the difference. Would you stand with me today? I want to do something here as we close our service. And as we're talking about laying down our lives for Jesus, I specifically had Sarah use this illustration of a waiter, because whenever you're waiting on God, your hand should be out and open. And so would you do with me something kind of, I don't know, maybe it seems trivial to some, but would you close your eyes all over this room as we begin to close our service? And would you just put your hands out like a waiter? Both hands, just say, Lord, I choose to serve You in the good moments and in the bad. I want to walk with a towel in my life. I want to live to serve my children, to serve my family, to serve my loved ones, to serve my church, to serve my God. And I want to do it in the order that You designed it, God. I serve You first, then I serve my family, and then I serve my church, and I serve the world. I can't change everybody's life, but I can serve those who are closest to me. And in doing that, I can change one heart, one life, and maybe they would see that as I'm following Christ, they can follow me, because they can trust someone who always humbles themselves when others come against them. They can trust that they will be in good hands as I serve them, and that they know that they can always approach me, because I'm going to come humbly. I'm going to ask them, what do You need? How can I help? What can I do to change the situation? Is there something I can do? I will plant myself voluntarily in a place where I can serve and grow. Jesus, would You help us today? As our arms are out, now would You lift Your hands and just praise Him? And would You just thank Him for the opportunities He puts in your life? Not the ones that you love and not the ones that you cherish, but the ones that are difficult. Would you just thank Him that He gives you a place for a towel and a wash basin? That He would give you the opportunity to serve Him through somebody else. Maybe even someone who's difficult. Maybe someone that has a temper, or someone that has a hard personality. Maybe God's allowing you right now to grow patience in your serve. I pray You touch somebody's life today, Jesus. That they remember that when they go low, Your name gets put on them too. And Your name is higher than any other name. That they walk with Your glory and Your might. That they walk with Your power and Your direction. In Jesus' name. Someone said amen. I want to open this altar. Would you come and just let God know? I have other notes I didn't get to. The words, what they mean in the Greek. It means that no one is above you and no task is above you. It means that you're to be a servant to others in what you do, and that you're to serve no matter what the station of the person is. So that means if you walk up to a janitor and they ask you to help them, you should help them. That means if there's someone in your family, you should help them. That the name above every name is on your life. And it's there because you're a servant of the Most High. Would you find a place to pray today? This altar's open. Would you ask the Lord to give you that same mind that was in Christ Jesus?